After S&P downgraded the U.S. outlook, the response has been mixed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Global investors today haven't made too big a deal over ratings agency Standard & Poor's revising its U.S. debt outlook to negative. The country's debt is still rated AAA. Over in Europe, the rating story is a familiar one, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Investors have decided that Europe's debt crisis is much worse and more immediate than America's. The U.S. may face a downgrade within the next 2 years, but one or more European governments might default within the next 2 months. And some analysts believe that S&P's move could improve the chances of the U.S. getting its public finances under control. Stephen Lewis is with Monument Securities.
They use that threat as a weapon to bring elements in the Congress into line in support of his plan.
Investors have seen something similar on this side of the pond. 2 years ago, Britain was also under threat of a downgrade, and that enabled the UK government to push through a deeply unpopular deficit reduction program. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Indeed, European markets are higher right now, even in the wake of the S&P US downgrade. Shares in London are up about 0.5%. GM is raising the cost of a car by a little more than $100. And Delta Airlines is going up on its fares at least $10 round trip. Higher oil prices to blame for both. Oil, by the way, at $106 a barrel today. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 140 points to close at 12,201. Well, there are a couple of big auto shows opening this week in New York and Shanghai. And General Motors is really going all out in one of them. The one in China, where it has big plans over the next few years. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz got a look at the Shanghai Auto Show, and he's with us now. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Steve.
GM says it wants to double the amount of cars it sells in China in the next 5 years to 5 million cars. You think they can do it?
That's going to be tough, but this is the fastest growing automobile market in the world, and that's why GM's introducing 60 new and upgraded models in the next 5 years here. As to whether doubling sales is possible, I posed that question to Michael Dunn, an analyst and author of an upcoming book about GM, and here's what he said.
They won't get it easily. The Germans are here, the Japanese, the Koreans, and the Chinese are fighting too. So to make that mark, 5 million in 5 years, will be an incredible triumph if they get there.
But GM is sure acting like that's possible. This morning, the carmaker chose this auto show for the worldwide launch of its new 2013 Chevy Malibu. Now, that's a first.
What are other American automakers doing there, Rob?
Well, Ford plans to roll out 15 new vehicles in China over the next 4 years. That doesn't sound like much compared to GM's plans, but Ford arrived in China later than GM did. So unlike the U.S. market where Ford's beating GM in sales, it's selling less than half of what GM sells in China.
All right. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Rob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at farmers.com.
Paul Allen's new book goes on sale today. An idea man, the co-founder of Microsoft, says Bill Gates tried to dupe him out of his share of the software giant after he got sick with cancer. But Allen has some fond memories, too, of the early days of Microsoft and the investments he's made since. Paul Allen, welcome to Marketplace.
Thank you.
How did your founding and development of Microsoft affect other investments that you made later on? What did you learn in those early days?
Well, the early days were really exciting. I tried to stuff as much information about the computer industry and about microprocessor chips into my mind as I could. A lot of the work that's key early is to find like-minded people to work with. And I was lucky to meet Bill Gates in high school, and we found someone at Harvard, Monty Davidoff. So a lot of it's about putting your initial team together.
Is it different now finding venture capital and people to invest than it was for you guys to find it?
Well, we basically self-financed in those early days. When I got to Albuquerque, actually, I had to get a two-week advance on my salary. And Bill was going to Harvard, and I was living on my salary for working for Honeywell. So now, you know, there's many venture capitalists that are looking at all these different opportunities. So there's a lot of money out there to finance interesting startups as compared to those days.
How crowded is the market right now?
Oh, my gosh. It's more crowded than it's ever been. If you look at the number of applications for mobile phones and for tablets and for PCs, it's super crowded. And some of the financial models have yet to be proven.
You think we're in some sort of tech bubble?
If you look at the valuations of some of these things that have unproven financial models, sometimes valuations can get away from rational levels. So there's always the potential for a bubble. And people probably thought the valuation of Google at some point was a bubble, and it proved out over time. So it just depends on the situation.
Between you and Bill Gates, it seems that what you do with your money is very different. I mean, Bill has his charitable foundation, the Gates Foundation. You have philanthropic ventures as well, but you also own sports teams like the Seattle Seahawks or the Portland Trailblazers.
There's a stylistic difference there. Bill has always had, especially in the Microsoft days, had a laser-like focus and dedication to Microsoft. Once I left Microsoft, I'd always had many different interests and pursued different opportunities and have really enjoyed the sports teams. But as the owner of any sports franchise, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be years when you're, you know, contending, hopefully, if you're lucky, and then years where you're struggling and you're rebuilding. And so we've gone through a few of those cycles.
Paul Allen, co-founder of Microsoft, we thank you for your time.
Thank you.
More about Allen's relationship with Bill Gates later today on Marketplace with Kai Ryssdal. And check out the book at our big book blog at marketplace.org. Finally, readers of the Consumerist website have voted for the worst company in America. It started off like March Madness. Companies like Toyota and Ticketmaster going head-to-head in the Sweet 16 or Elite 8. The winner? BP. Tomorrow, by the way, is the anniversary of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. The worst company list, by the way, is at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The oil we use in our everyday lives is tough, hard to reach, not easily refined, and we have to jump through the other country's bureaucratic hoops to get it.
And the number of the hoops and the character of the hoops change with the price of oil.
I'm Bob Moon. Our series marking the anniversary of the BP oil spill continues with a look at geopolitics and oil supplies. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.